Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Welcome to Resource People Podcast. I'm Tara Diamond, your host from AMA, and I'm so glad you joined us because today we have a wonderful episode with Gabrielle Crawford. We talked to Gab, who is a pilot for Eagle Drilling and most recently Aquila Air Services, really about what it's like as a pilot in the resources industry, a young female in a male-dominated industry such as aviation and then let alone in resources and energy industry. And really importantly, perspective on the role that aviation plays in our industry. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to Resource People Podcast, Gab.
Thanks for having me.
Love to get us started by hearing about what you do as a pilot and your role. And I want to make sure everyone knows that you were previously with Eagle Drilling and have just moved to Aquila Air Services. So we'll get onto that soon, but tell me about your background, being a pilot and your current role.
I used to work in both New Zealand and Australia, and I'd do a summer stint in New Zealand. And then when the tourists would all leave, I'd make my way over to Australia. After a while of doing that, I realised doing a little spiel to people all the time, telling them all about the pretty scenery, was getting a bit dull and I wasn't as enthusiastic about it anymore. So I made the move to charter, and that started really up in the top end. So I worked in Katherine for about 6 months, and then I made my way north to Darwin, and that was really my first intro into proper charter, and that's where I got introduced to FIFO, fly in, fly out. So we were doing regular runs to the Tiwi Islands. There was a forestry there, and that would be 2 runs a day, taking people over, bringing people back. So after a while of doing that, eventually we were just doing the same destination, and I decided, okay, I think I've seen as much as I can see up here, and I entered that job 2 years ago now. So that was just when COVID was starting to hit the world, and I thought, yes, I'd be okay, but I really struggled after then to find a role. So I did a lot of scouting and I realised I've got to be more than just a pilot. And I ended up stumbling across Eagle Drilling, called them up, told them who I was. And then they brought me down to Charters Towers. After being here for a wee bit, they said we'd like to establish an air operator certificate. And now I just moved into a role as chief pilot of Aquila Air Services.
Sounds incredible. And I'm going to delve down into a couple of those areas. But working in charter in the top end, Darwin, I mean, I've only just flown into Darwin a number of times, but it's so beautiful flying in there. That must have been a magic job for a while.
We say we pilots get really lazy for the 6 months when it's the dry season, and then we stress ourselves out and work our butts off in the wet season. So you get the good with the bad, but I personally enjoyed flying just after the wet season where you got all the views with all the water around. So that was my favourite time up there.
Oh, wow. Sounds amazing. And I am going to get on to how you became a pilot and all those sorts of things. So you just mentioned that Eagle Drilling started an air operator services side of their business. But for those that don't know Eagle Drilling, can you tell us what Eagle Drilling does and why they would need people like you to work with them?
So Eagle Drilling is a family-run business here in Charters Towers, and they specialise in drilling operations, mainly surface drilling. So when I came on board, they were starting to do a few projects a bit further afield out to the likes of Cloncurry, down to Gladstone. They have a few rigs up on Horn Island. So what I'm here for essentially is to reduce the travel time and reduce the fatigue for the workers. I can get parts out there really quickly, and I can take people in and out without having to do 9 hours, 10 hours on the road. I can do that sort of job in 2 hours.
A question I wanted to ask you, and you've just in part answered it, is what are the benefits for Eagle Drilling having this charter company as a sister company? You just touched on a couple, but is there anything else? Aviation is obviously so crucial to resources, but what's the benefit of the companies doing that themselves and starting their own organisations?
Eagle Drilling currently has a lot of relations with a lot of mining and fellow resource industry people already. So rather than just us being able to service ourselves, we can now offer our services to other people who maybe don't have a plane, but maybe they need to get those parts out there quickly or their workers out to site quickly. So now, instead of just us being able to do it for ourselves, we can offer that same service to other people too.
And of course, what happened with COVID and commercial aviation, I'm sure that that's just held Eagle Drilling and Aquila in such good stead.
Yeah, we don't have to rely on airlines, essentially, especially with the likes of lockdowns. Mm. We can avoid flying through major airports, for instance, Gladstone. Instead of our workers having to go through Brisbane to come up to Townsville, we can go straight to Gladstone and we can cut out all those sort of hotspot areas. And we can get people out quickly if we need to.
That sounds amazing. Now, I do want to start talking to you about why you became a pilot and all that really interesting stuff. You said something a minute ago. You said they wanted me to be more than just a pilot. So can you tell me what's different than just what you'd previously been doing as a pilot?
Previously, I used to just show up, fly a plane, come back, clean the plane and go home. This year's been a very different past 12 months. Things learning like driving a truck or doing some general yard maintenance to getting on a forklift, all those kind of things have just been different for me. But they're, I guess, good life skills. Who knows when I could use them one day. But it's just been a big transition going from one role to quite a different role. And even working Monday to Friday from 8:30 to 5, I don't do those hours all the time. It'd be luxury if I did, but I do have my early starts, sometimes 3 a.m. But yeah, it's just been a big change, I guess, going from a predominantly flying role to not so predominantly flying, but still being there and being the only person in the company who can do my role. It gives you a sense of importance that I can do the job and I can get people there safely and on time and make sure everything's up to standard.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right, well, let's skip back now. What began your journey to becoming a pilot? Was it a dream of yours? How did it happen?
I grew up flying with my dad, essentially, and I knew I just wanted to be – I always wanted to get my private pilot license, but I went to an all-girls school, and they actually never once suggested to be a pilot. It wasn't even a brochure that was – it was one of those very private schools that brought in doctors and dentists to speak at assembly about their careers. And it wasn't until my dad said, you don't know what you want to do when you leave, but you always wanted to fly. Why don't you become a pilot? And from there, after school, it was just so simple. Why wouldn't I be a pilot? That's all I ever wanted to do. So that's how that came about for me.
Tell us about the training that's involved. It's obviously a highly skilled job. Tell people what's involved. You know, obviously people often hear a little bit about commercial pilots, but tell us about getting a private pilot license.
Yeah, sure. So a big misconception about aviation is the commercial pilots are only in airlines. Currently, if you get paid to fly, you're a commercial pilot.
Okay.
So when you start your aviation training, you don't have to be at uni. You don't even have to have a high school diploma, anything like that. Anybody can become a pilot. And I believe that if you're passionate about something, you'll make the effort to learn. Mm. So you can do it through a local aero club or you can go through an approved course. But essentially, you start out and you become a student pilot and you'll get your private pilot license. And then you can take your friends up for a flight and it's just a bit of a joyride and you can go from A to Z and have lunch there. But when you're stepping into the commercial world, that's when you're starting to have to fly to a higher standard and you've got to have more hours. There's nothing really to do about the length of time to become a pilot. It's just how quickly can you fly, get up to 200 hours, depending on what course you're doing and how much money you have to get you to those hours.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't know if it's a misconception, but, you know, my understanding is that it's quite expensive. Is that true? Is that a barrier?
Yeah, it's not cheap. And that's why a lot of people do choose to go down a student loan or a vet fee route just to be able to get there quicker. However, there's nothing wrong with going out and working another job and self-funding it, because then when you do enter the aviation world, you're a bit older. I know I was 18 looking for my first role and a lot of people did not want to hire me. They said I simply looked too young. So definitely going out and doing another skill first isn't a bad thing. And then you can just fly on the side, self-fund it a bit, and then you won't have such a large loan at the end, but everybody's journey is different. So whatever you feel is right for you, maybe all you want to do is fly, and maybe having a student loan is the only way to do that.
I mean, it's fascinating. And you talked before about how you heard about Eagle Drilling, you picked up the phone. But what made you, you know, think about resources, and what made you contact Eagle Drilling? Basically, how did you become a pilot in the resources industry?
Essentially, with COVID, I guess I kind of knew that if I was going to fly, I wasn't going to be the same sort of pilot that I was the previous few years. Everybody was getting let go of their jobs. And I kind of said to myself, if I'm going to keep flying, I need to be more than a pilot. And I was speaking to a friend, and he said there's a drilling company in Charters Towers that's looking for a pilot potentially. And he couldn't tell me it was Eagle Drilling, but basically I scoured the internet for hours searching Barron Charters Towers, plane Charters Towers, until I found a drilling company, which was Eagle Drilling. And I just picked up the phone and I called, and I basically said my situation. So it was a bit of a fluke how I ended up in there, but definitely with COVID, it made me rethink the whole idea of aviation, because I think everyone will agree nothing's going to be the same again, especially the aviation industry.
Yeah, there's so many areas that aren't going to be the same again, but aviation has been hit so hard, and obviously the associated tourism and other industries. But did you ever think when you became a pilot that you'd end up working in the resources industry?
Never. Never. I don't regret it though. I'm one of those people who likes to do more than just one thing at a time. So that's probably my downfall, to be honest, as I like to do everything. And so being in the resource industry, getting out and meeting new people, seeing new places, and having a different purpose in my job rather than, oh, they're just a client, I'll get them from here to there. It's no, I work with these people. Let's, you know, and you're part of a team to keep that running rather than employed by somebody to do a job, essentially. It's a whole different sense of satisfaction when you fly.
Oh, that's amazing. And so then tell us a little bit about Aquila in relation to Eagle Drilling's operations. Where do you get to fly? How many people do you fly? You know, you mentioned parts before and you touched on a couple of different locations.
Sure. So we can essentially fly anywhere within Australia. It just, I guess, depends on how much money you have or where you'd like to go. But our planes are essentially six-seaters. We have two aircraft. We've got a Beechcraft Baron and a Cessna 206. And the Beechcraft Baron is your luxury Ferrari sports car twin, I guess. And your 206 is just your pickup truck that you can load up and you can land almost anywhere.
Oh, wow. So you go between the two?
I do, yes.
So tell us about some of the places that you regularly fly to.
So quite regularly, it just depends on what site we're working on. So lately I've been flying down to a place called Mount Coolin. About every 10 days, I'll do a shift change. Mm-hmm. Quite often I'll go to Townsville just purely for convenience if people are doing a changeover for their rosters. But other places, I sometimes go to a Brisbane and up to Horn Island. I've done a few trips up there right up the top of the Cape. And sometimes I'll go inland towards Cloncurry. It really just depends on what projects are on. But essentially, with the move into Aquila Air Services, we can fly essentially anywhere, or we can make something work wherever you want to go. And it's just, people are quite often surprised how many places are serviced by an airfield. But generally, we can get you pretty close to where you want to go.
It's amazing. And then can't not ask, what are the most interesting places you've flown into?
I may be biased, but I don't think I'd get shot too hard if I said New Zealand's got some pretty spectacular places.
Of course you'd say that.
Yeah, I mean, I flew down around Queenstown and Wanaka, so flying up to Mount Cook, into Milford Sound. That was pretty spectacular.
Wow.
But top picks in Australia for me, I definitely love flying down towards the Sunshine Coast. It's really nice down there. And when I first came to Australia, within 2 weeks I got to fly to Uluru, so that was a pretty big highlight for me, and that was my first taste of the true outback of Australia, I guess.
Those reds, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah. The way I describe it is New Zealand's more, you can point a camera anywhere and get a photo and get a great photo, but in Australia, it's more about appreciating the vast beauty of the place.
Oh, wow. Are you sure you haven't worked for a tourism board before? That's an amazing summary of their different landscapes.
Well, it's tourism for 3 or 4 years before entering into charter. So.
Oh, wow. All right, I'm going to give you some quick fire questions now about you and your role. What do you like most about it?
I really like the feeling of belonging to a team. I said that before, rather than just flying people to a job, you're actually working with these people and they will have a conversation with you. You get to see where they work, you get to help them out. That's what I probably like the most, is just feeling that sense of belonging to a team. I'm not a driller, great. I'm not an offsider, so quite often I feel quite separate, but it's not until I get to do this role that I can feel like I'm part of that team.
Oh, well then, next quick fire is, what's the most challenging part of your role?
I'm the only pilot in the company, so basically if anything happens or anything goes wrong, it's all my responsibility. I do have people I can call, but just having that constant responsibility on me, I find that definitely quite stressful, and making sure everything's right all the time.
Because safety, I bet, as well.
Yeah. So that's probably, for me, what I find the most stressful.
All right. So the next question's a lead on to that, which is, how do you manage that then, working with so many different people? You know, being the only pilot in the company, you work with, you just mentioned drillers, assistants, but then there'd be, you know, managers and project leaders and all different types of things. How do you work in such a diverse team?
Well, because Eagle Drilling's a family business, we're all pretty small, so we all know each other by name, and I know who I'm regularly flying. So quite often it'll be Sally, and she'll come to me and say, I've got this job I want you to do, and I'll come up with a plan of how we're going to do that job. So it's not just me running around chasing jobs. It's Sally will collect the information, and then she'll come to me, and I'll create a job, and I'll go back to her. So it's all a bit of a team effort, and that's how we keep things running here.
And do you want to tell people who Sally is?
Sally is the general manager of Eagle Drilling, and she just recently took on the responsibility of being CEO as well as the general manager for Aquila Air Services.
That sounds amazing, Gab, having a female CEO of your organisation. You know, it's quite unusual in our industry to have a female CEO, with being a male-dominant industry. What's it like having a female leader?
I personally really enjoy it. I think, as well, with Sally coming from such a strong manager background with Eagle and so successful, to have her to report to in Aquila Air Services, it's quite nice to have somebody who's got that background and have that experience. But we're also in a situation where this is new for both of us with CASA and having this AOC. So what's really nice is, because of my relationship with Sally, is we're there to help each other and we're there to learn together. And having someone that's willing to have those discussions with you and willing to learn and work together, that's just a really nice feeling overall. And it makes you feel a bit better about stepping into something new.
Oh, wow. Like a safe space to do that. You just touched on CASA, which is the Civil Aviation Safety Authority. And you mentioned another acronym there, AOC, which I have no idea what that means. What is that one, Gab?
So that's just our Air Operator Certificate.
Oh, okay. So how do you work with CASA? And, you know, how is resources sector aviation, how does it intertwine and how is it related to in the aviation world?
CASA, especially where we are, I think we're lucky to have a good relationship with CASA. We're in a smaller part of Australia where it's all a bit more personal. So the person who did my chief pilot approval and the person who did Sally's approval, and we've got something called a HAMC, and that's essentially somebody in charge of the maintenance. We get to meet them in person and they really encourage us that they're just a phone call away with anything. So we're really lucky to have that relationship, and that's how we want to keep it. I do believe CASA knows how important the resource industry is, so they really try to nurture it and look after it. I don't think Australia could even survive, to be honest, without having aviation in the resource industry. I think it's quite heavily dependent, especially with how large Australia is and how far people have to travel to get to work.
That's an interesting point you just made, that unless you work in the industry and have traveled to sites, it's really difficult to comprehend your point there. But you have a unique bird's eye view of really how far people have to travel to get to the locations in which we operate as an industry. So that's an amazing point. And I do have one last area where I want to ask you some questions on, which is we at AMA have been very lucky to have you involved in our Bright Future STEM program, which puts role models, particularly female role models, in front of primary school students in relation to STEM subjects and areas to really get them to think about and explain to the kids all the different kinds of opportunities and careers in the resource and energy industry. So what advice do you and have you given young students in relation to their studies and what's available to them in the future?
I think the biggest thing that I've always said is school doesn't have to be your thing. I'm a big believer if you're interested in something and you're genuinely passionate about it, you will do what it takes. Some people at school, I find they struggle with finding something they're passionate about, and they'll say, oh, what's the point of this? I'm never going to use this in real life. So if school wasn't your thing, that's okay, because you could come into aviation and find this is something you absolutely love. And I believe that with any job. And when you really have a passion and a love for it, that's when, instead of seeing it as working hard to achieve something, you're just seeing it as finding out more information about something you're really interested in. So I think that's a big thing I always try to pass on, is school doesn't have to be your thing. However, things like physics and maths, they definitely do help. But yeah, I'm a huge believer that school's not for everybody, and all types of people make up the world. And if you're truly passionate about it, that is what you'll do, and you'll find out a way to achieve it.
Well, that is fantastic advice. A lot of students and a lot of people, I'm sure that would be really interesting advice for them, because we do have our education system that does pump people up further into the education system past schooling. And there's so many other opportunities, particularly in the resources and energy industry. So thanks for sharing that with us, Gab. And thank you so much for joining us on Resource People Podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening and joining us on Resource People Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and a different perspective on aviation in the resource and energy industry. I hope you can join us again next time.
AMA acknowledges and pays respects to the traditional custodians of the land from which the Resource People Podcast was recorded from today, both the Turrbal and Yugara people. AMA acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which you are living, learning and listening to this podcast from today. We pay our respects to elders both past, present and emerging.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People Podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@ama.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.